I'm talking about setting the pace in marriage and family life. And why is it important? Why is marriage such a big deal? Why is it a big deal? I can tell you for free. We've been traveling, like I said, we just flew in yesterday night to make sure we are in this meeting. We are flying out this week again. By Thursday, we are back to the U.S. So we actually came for this. And last year alone, we organized marriage seminars around the globe in 22 cities. Not invitations like this to speak. These are our own events organized around the world. 22 cities last year. The Canada leg of the tour alone, we did 7 cities in Canada. The Canada leg of the tour alone, Lagos to Canada and back, we were on 20 flights. 20 flights. A team of 7 people. We flew so much, I didn't even know where I was. Because Canada has like 6 or 7 different time zones. Canada is a continent, it's not a country. Before that Canada trip, I flew Lagos to Kenya 5 or 6 hours. Inside Canada, I flew Toronto to Vancouver 6 hours, same Canada. That's how annoyingly big it is. During the American leg, one flight landed and took off at the same time. One of our flights. I've never seen that kind of thing before, Daddy. The flight landed and took off. When it landed the second time, I waited to talk to the pilot. I said, what happened? Oh, he said, don't worry, it's called a go-around or a turn-around. That he's a military pilot, that they do it all the time. That if you land and there's so much bounce and you feel you're not going to make the wrong way, you just go again. I said, next time, drop me. You know, we are Nigerians. When we draw, when we land, we give praise. You don't carry me again to another one. Praise God. Why are we doing all that stress to talk about marriages? It's because marriage is one of the most important things to God. As a matter of fact, it's God's secret weapon. It's not a hidden secret. God's secrets are not hidden secrets. How do I know it's so important to God? It's the first thing that God started as an institution. Marriage was the first thing God himself started as an institution. I always say that if God felt academics would have changed the world, he would have first made Adam a professor. The first thing he made Adam was a husband and a father. If God felt politics would have changed the world, have made Adam a prime minister or a president. The first thing he made Adam was a husband and a father. If God even felt the church would change the world, have made Adam a pastor or a bishop. The first thing he made Adam was a husband and a father. I was shocked when God said even the family life comes before church. I didn't like that one. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for about 30 years. Everything about me is pastor. I have always believed that the church is the most important thing. God said no. God said the criteria to be a pastor is to run your home well. I was shocked. God said your home. He said, because the church is God's family. God said if you can't run your own family, don't come and mismanage my own family. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? The criteria to be a bishop is to run your home well. If you can't run your home well, forget it. And COVID showed us that everything can be shut down. During COVID, they shut down airlines, shut down schools, shut down restaurants. They even shut down churches. Only one thing could not be shut down. Families could not be shut down. Hallelujah. God sees family as the thing that will change the world. The labor we labor as pastors is the work that didn't happen in families. If every man is groomed to understand that he's the general overseer of his house, the standards we hold the daddy by and we hold all the ministers by is the same standards we need to hold every father by. Because those fathers think me, I'm just a member. It's daddy that needs integrity. Is this message daddy preached today is for pastor? It's daddy that needs integrity. Me, I'm just member. But you're also the general overseer of your family. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So God values family. Sees it as number one. Sees it as number one. And unfortunately, we have all been paying attention to other things and we have left the thing important to God unattended. Why do we have successful lawyers that have unsuccessful marriages? Why do we have successful doctors that have unsuccessful marriages? The reason is simple. They've spent 7 years studying law, 7 years studying medicine, 0 years studying marriage. So they are succeeding where they have studied. There's no surprise in that. I always say where you invest is where you harvest. Did you get that? I say where you invest is where you harvest. Some people come to me sometimes and say, Pastor, I'm unlucky with love. I say, nobody's unlucky with love. You can either be unlearned, uninterested, uninvolved, uncommitted, but not unlucky. You are just not paying attention. As at about 7 years ago, 9 out of 10 richest men in the world were divorced. About 7 years ago, 9 out of 10 of the richest men in the world, not in Africa, I'm talking about the world, 9 out of 10 were divorced. 8 were officially divorced. The 9th one was married to somebody else but living with somebody else. So I added him. He's divorced. He just is not aware. 9 out of 10 were divorced. So if it's not foolish people that fail in marriage, that's what I'm trying to show you. It's not foolish people that fail, it's just uninterested people. Do you know how smart you have to be among the richest men in the world? Do you know how many documents you need to sign in a day to be among the richest men in the world? So these guys are not dunce, they are not dull, they are just uninterested. Do you know how many meetings you attend if you are the richest man in the world? Even when you are not in a meeting, you are in a meeting preparing for the next meeting. How many people here have been to Dubai before? Have you been to Dubai? Can I see your hand? Okay, not many people. Have you heard of Dubai? How many people have heard of Dubai? Dubai is a beautiful city. One of my own favorite cities. I must have been to Dubai now up to 30 times. Now, if I count. Love the city. I've been there to preach. Sometimes I've been there for holiday. Love the city. If you know the story of Dubai, it started as a desert. Most of you know the story. It was a desert that today they've developed to the point where as a city, Dubai has broken over 400 world records. As a city, 400 world records. A lot of those records are Guinness Book of Records. The king of Dubai is divorced 5 times. I'm showing you people smarter than me and you. They are failing in marriage. That should tell you that for you to succeed, you must be intentional. Are you catching what I'm saying, sir? So how do we go on this journey? I said, where you invest is where you what? Harvest. So I brought a lot of our books. We have up to 30 or so books on marriage. Please, buy it. Everybody watching me today, you are a counselor. Let me tell your neighbor, you're a counselor. No, don't be afraid, I'm here. Tell your neighbor, you're a counselor. Everybody here, you will counsel somebody on marriage. So buy all my books, keep it. Everybody will counsel. You know why? One day your friend will ask you. One day your sibling will ask you a marriage question. One day your daughter. Some of my biggest fans are grandmothers and mothers. They're always buying materials for their children. Some of you will soon get to the stage where your children will be asking your advice. And you can't give what you don't have. Everybody will give marriage advice. That's my experience. Everybody will give what? So if you are not prepared, this sort of counseling, you will counsel them. Daddy, there was a case I heard of. Young, pretty lady. Tall, pretty lady like this. She was already divorced, early 30s. Child custody battle already on. So in counseling, I said, so how did you even marry this man? How did you get here? She said their parents had 4 daughters. And the advice the parents gave them was that you must marry from our town. That's the secret. Not from our tribal. That one would have even been a bigger bracket. He said from our town. That's the secret of success in marriage. The 300 kilometers or whatever our town is. She said out of the 4 of them, only one is still married. And that's the one that did not take that advice. The remaining 3 that married from the town, as the parents said, are all divorced today. Did those parents, did they want those children to be divorced? No, they only gave what they had. You can't give what you don't have. A lot of things we call generational curses are not generational curses. They are just generational ignorance being passed from one generation to another. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When we're coming into the U.S. on this trip before I came here, the people that stamp you in at the border, I always enjoy talking to them when they want to ask me, because they will ask you questions like, how long are you staying? What are you here for? Blah, blah, blah. So They ask me, what do you do for a living? I don't say I'm a pastor again. But that one is not interesting. I'll say I'm a marriage coach, which is true. I'm a marriage coach. I'll say I'm a marriage coach. And my visa actually carries marriage coach. That's why I have a visa that permits me to preach in the U.S. So it carries marriage coach. I say I'm a marriage coach. Whenever I say that, every time, like this last case, the guy just looked at me when I said that. He gave me a look. And I smiled. I laughed. He said, do you understand that look? I said, no. He said, because 90% of them that work here are divorced. So this issue is not an African issue. Neither is it an American issue. It's a human issue. And history repeats itself when we don't learn from history. Come on, see how we set the pace. There are five things that we'll look at quickly in the short time I have left. In setting the pace in marriage, there are about four or five P's that you need. Number one P is knowing the purpose of marriage. Come on, say with me, purpose. Say it louder, say purpose. The first problem I found out is that many people getting married don't even know the purpose of marriage. I want to marry. Why? I just want to marry. My mates are married. One of my books out there is titled 25 Wrong Reasons People Enter Relationships. So this thing doctor just mentioned now is there. I want to marry because all my mates are married. If all your prayer points are, Lord, I want to marry because my cousins are married. I want to marry because I'm getting old. I want to marry because I'm lonely. If that's just your reason, you are already going to have problem in marriage because your motive is already wrong. It's like doing business. If you only focus on money, you will never have genius. If you focus on really solving problems, there are too many problems to solve. If you focus on money, you will just be thinking about how to rip people off. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So why do you want to get married? You must know the purpose. Even your prayer point. The prayer point we pray in churches sometimes is what's putting people in problem. Oh God, I must marry this year by fire and by force. Why? You see, the person entering marriage with that mindset is entering as a taker. But marriage is for givers, not for takers. You will have problem already. Because you want to marry because you are pressed for time. So you are looking for any willing participant. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If you're a man, your prayer point should show that you understand. Say, oh Lord, send me a woman you have assigned me to build. If you're a husband, the word husband is from husbandry. Who talks about somebody that tends or cultivates? You're a builder. If you're a wife, you're praying for a husband, your prayer should be, Lord, assign me to the man you have sent me to help. You're a helper. But if I just pray because all my mates are married, it will show. When I see the way some people dance in their wedding, I know they don't know what they are entering. By their dance, you shall know them. They don't know what they are signing in for. Doctor, my elder brother, Daddy Gio, my elder brother is in the army. He has gone to different missions in the army. He's a retired major general now. I've never seen where they send soldiers to war and they're dancing. If you know what you are entering into, you will be a bit more solemn than we are currently doing it. Your friends will be gathering you to pray with you on the journey you are going into. Not being naked when you see some people's train and they are bridesmaids. You know these ones, they don't know what they are entering. They think it's fashion parade they came for. They think we are looking at your wig and your lashes. It won't matter when the problem starts. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? What's the purpose of marriage? There are seven purposes of marriage. I can't list all of them today because of time. There are seven purposes of marriage. One of the purposes of marriage is for us to complement each other. For us to complement each other. So the way life works, every human being, even though we are complete in Christ, but we were not created complete that we will not need people. In fact, that's why God said it's not good for man to be alone. If you're a single man here of age, please marry as fast as you can. Marriage will give you focus, will give you direction, will help you be responsible quickly. Hallelujah. Yes. It's God that said so. God said it's not good. If God says something is not good, there's no amount of reasoning you want to give me that is good. Something God says is not good, you want to say it's good. We are the ones tempting the devil in our time. I wish if I had the power to change it, that's one of the things I would change. I will help people be mature quicker so that they can also marry quicker. You know, when the Bible is saying we should live in a holy life and all that, they were not really planning that you'll be single at 40. That's not the plan, no. They call it the wife of your youth. Wife of your youth. So don't slack. Hallelujah. So number one reason for purpose for marriage is for us to complement. So the way God did it, men and women are different because they complement each other. Compatibility is not in our similarity. It's in our ability to get along. So that's why a pen and a pen cover are compatible. They are not alike, but they are compatible. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So God created us that way so that we can complement each other. Every human being comes with certain strengths, but those certain strengths also spell certain weaknesses. So the way God imagined it, he wanted two people that had certain strengths. Is there any young couple in front, sitting close by in front? A young couple, any couple? I need a couple on stage. You are with your wife. Please, both of you come. Clap for them, please. Where's your wife now? You didn't consult her when you were raising your hand enthusiastically. Wife, come now. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Come on this first level if you can. You know your husband before now. Why are you looking like you don't know him? That is, come this way. Just come on this first level. Thank you. Just stay like this. Both of you face that side. Yes. All right. Praise God. Clap for them one more time. Let's clap for them. So, the way God designed it, this guy, his front is his strength. The back are weaknesses. Now, it's just how life is. God didn't make anybody one person complete in all. If not, you wouldn't need other people. It's like a sports car. What makes a sports car becomes a weakness when that sports car goes off-road or in a bad road. A sports car is flat. It makes it navigate corners quickly. It also makes it break wind to be fast. That same sports car, if it goes to a rocky road or off-road, that being low will cause problems. Now, an SUV, a Jeep, a high car is good for off-road, but if you bring the high car to the racing track, that is height and big tire is now a disadvantage. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how God made it. Everybody has strengths and they have weaknesses. So God said, you know what? I want you guys to complement each other. Face me. Please, face that side. Both of you, back yourselves. So when these two people now back themselves, it's only strengths that are showing. They are both covering up for each other where they are weak. So continue backing him. So you will see this in Genesis chapter 2. When he said, it's not good for man to be alone, he said, I will make him a helper. The Amplified and Co. says, a helper that will complement and balance him. You know why? Not just gender differences. There's gender differences. There's also personality differences. All of that. That's why you notice talkers always like listeners. Two talkers don't like themselves. Opposites always attract first. Two talkers, if they go on a date together, they will hate it. Say, that man talked too much. He didn't even allow me to say anything. He will ask me a question, he will answer it by himself. That guy talks too much. So, talkers will like listeners. Two listeners too won't like themselves. Have you seen two listeners go on a date before? It's horrible. Just sit down. How are you? How are we? You are enjoying your juice? They have nothing to say. So you will find out an ideal date will be with a talker and a listener. The talker will say, How was the day? They say, I enjoyed it. She allowed me to pour out all my mind. They will ask the listener, how was it? Say, it was very nice. Because she doesn't have what to say before. She went to somebody that can talk. The date went well. So opposites generally will attract. Most couples do this thing unconsciously, but for those of us that study it, we found out that the successful couples, usually these things are present. It's difficult to see two jovial people marry, rarely. They say it happens, but it's few. They said more times you will see a jovial person marry a quiet person, reserved person. But they say you will never see two moody people marry. Say you will never see it. That moody people are not stupid, they are just unhappy. They are not stupid enough to marry each other. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't stop in gender. Like I said, spenders generally attract savers. Organized people generally will attract scattered people. Sometimes the thing you are complaining about your spouse is why God sent you into their life. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Some women, you are so organized. You don't want to marry one scattered man. And every day you are shouting at him. If you marry another organized person, that one too will not like you. Have you seen two organized people? The way they arrange something, eh? If you shift it by 1 inch, when they enter, they will know somebody has touched this thing. Two of you can't live together. All. So you need a scattered person. Instead of insulting that your husband, my wife has a way she says this. She said women should learn to train their children and love their husband. Most women want to love their children and train their husband. You can't train your husband. Somebody that his mother didn't train for how many years? It's you that want to now train him now that he's 40 years old. Why did my wife say that? He said most times women, when their children scatter the place, you see the woman come and say, Junior, why do you scatter this place? She will arrange it. When her husband scattered the place, he will come and say, you this useless man, come and pick your things, you get everywhere. He says the other way around. It's those children you should teach to arrange. You can train your children. That your husband, you already know he scatters his things. So as he's entering, be following him, as he's dropping it, be picking it. Thank you, darling. So love your husband, train your children. Hallelujah. Now, the beauty of it, why did God bring us to complement each other? Three things will happen. Opposites will first attract. Then after that, opposites will frustrate. The guy that talks a lot, that married a quiet person, at the beginning is wonderful. At some point in the middle, he will be telling her, don't you talk at all. You don't have anything to say. In this thing I've said now, you didn't say anything. Then after a while, to the listener, will be telling the talkative that you are giving me a headache. They will frustrate. If they are not careful at this point, many couples either break their relationship or break their marriage. Or they find a system to live together, but they are not really together. They are co-tenants. They either move to a different room, run their finances different, all those things. If you do that, you have missed the beautiful part, because the third stage is where they alternate. If you can survive with understanding the middle stage, you will reach where God was actually going. Where God wanted was that this talker, by the time he's married for 10, 20 years, he learns how to listen more. And this listener, after being married to a talker for 20 years, learns how to talk. This spender, after being married to a saver, this one helped my own marriage. Many of you don't know your financial habits until you marry. When you were single, you are the chairman, board of trustees, secretary, treasurer, only you are everything. So you'll be signing any document for yourself and the account will agree. When there's another person involved, you start seeing your true habit. I didn't know I was reckless with money. Making money has never been a problem for me. Keeping it is the problem. I spend more than I make. I didn't know that. You see, marriage will reveal your character. So when I married my wife, she's a saver. I'm a spender. Months into the marriage, I would say, hey, I need money. My wife would say, how much? I would say, like 100K. She said, I have. I would say, you have money in this house? I thought we are broke. It happened a few times. Then I found out my wife doesn't spend money. She's a saver by nature. Savers, they price everything they never buy. Say, how much is that in? 20,000. I say, Ajay, thank you. They price, they never buy. So my wife always has money. I've told Nigerian government, stop borrowing from China. Borrow from my wife. She has money. No matter the scarcity you are hearing about in the world, ask her. She has hidden one money. She's a saver. Me, I was reckless, spending anyhow. That tomorrow, you know, we spenders, those of you in our WhatsApp group, I'm an ex-spender, I've left the WhatsApp group, but when I was there, we spenders believe that money will always come. That Mario will tell me, let's say for the rainy day. I say, rain is already falling. We are in the rainy day. We spenders, we have many quotes and sayings we use to justify bad behavior. But you see, after some years, when I was becoming 40, my wife said she noticed that this man has been doing ministry and laboring for many years. He's almost 40. He has no savings. He has no savings. You see, this is what you are sent for marriage to do, to help. It's not to eat, it's to help. It's not eat meat, you are help meat. So she said, this man is going to be 40, has no savings. And God told her a few things. God said, don't rebuke him. Don't rebuke him about it. I will give you the wisdom on what to do. So God inspired her, start saving for him. That anytime he takes money to spend, you to take your money like you want to spend it and save it. So she was saving for me unknowingly. I didn't know. One day, I don't know what I was doing in the account. And I noticed that money was going out. And I called our accountant and said, what's happening? Who is taking money? He says, your wife. I said, why? He said, I should ask. Now, because the accountant was part of the plan. But she didn't want to say. So I asked my wife. She said, nothing. I pressed her. What has got? She now told me that, well, I've been saving for you. I said, how much have you people saved? Well, how much are you saving? Let's wait for the big box. You know, we are waiting for the big breakthrough. I said, how much? When she told me the amount, I said, so I'm this rich. And I've been wasting my money since. I said, if you can save this, it was a lot of money. I said, if you can save this amount without my permission, imagine if I'm fully on board. I said, so let the saving begin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we are rich. Do you understand? I mean, if you are here and you don't save, two of you, there must be somebody in your union that has more grace or discipline for saving. Let that person run the account. I saw a scripture. It said, God will bless you in your storehouse. Some of you don't have storehouse. It's not only your going in and coming out that will be blessed. He said there is a blessing that comes on interest in your storehouse. Are you catching what I'm saying? You know, people don't know that. There's a blessing for saving. There's a blessing for what? Saving. Deuteronomy 28:8. He said, I will bless your storehouse and what you set your hand to do. There are two different blessings. There's a blessing on what you are doing. There's a blessing that multiplies saving. Deuteronomy 28:8. So, you compliment. If me, my wife is the organizer, she's a planner. Me, I'm spontaneous. I don't go for flights till it's 1 minute to boarding. That's when I leave my house. My wife is a planner. She can start planning for a trip 1 week ahead of time. I laugh at her when she starts packing. I say, what's happening? Say, we're traveling next week. I'll be laughing. You see, but that's the only way it can work. That planner helps the spontaneous. But there are times in our life we need to make spontaneous decisions. A planner won't be able to make that decision. God brings two of you to do what? Complement each other. That's one of the number one reasons for marriage. It's very deep. I don't have time to go into it. Even the way God structured a man and a woman. Men are work-oriented. Women are family-oriented. It's for a reason. If God made two beings that are work-oriented, most men that are working, they don't even know why they are working again. Why are you working? To make 100 million. When you make it, what will happen? I will invest it. When the investment comes, what will happen? I will invest it. When that one comes, what will happen? It's for the family. The family, he has lost the family. But because men love work, men get their identity from work. But God didn't put two beings like that. He created a woman that is family oriented. The first thing God gave Adam was work. The first thing God gave Eve was husband. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So women anywhere in the world are family oriented. That gives a balance. If the two are work oriented, and that is what the secular world is trying to push women to do. I tell all the men, I pray for you that you'll be so blessed that your wife will only work at the pace that she wants to work. She won't work because she needs to work. Because what the world has done, we are pushing men and women to work at the same pace. Guess who is going to suffer? It's the family life that will suffer. pushing women. Women are trying to keep the same target as men. Men love work. Even the hormones that flow in our body as men when we work is different from that of women. When men are stressed, they use work to step down. Sir, I'm so tired. Let me answer some email. That's how men relax. We are wired. We are created for work. If you see men bragging about their suffering here, sir, I spent 3 hours in traffic. Sir, your own is good. I slept in the office. It's competition. Who is suffering the most? Because we love work. The hormones that flow in women when they are stressed is called cortisol. It actually destroys them. It reduces their immune system. Now, they found that the opposite is the same when family life is introduced. When women are happy family life, the hormones that flow in their body is called oxytocin. It makes them happy. Even when women see children, babies that are not their own baby, another baby, this same oxytocin flows in their hormones. They are wired for family. When women carry babies for a long time, they start telling their husband, should we do one more? My wife does this. When we go and visit somebody that has a new baby, when my wife carry baby, say, should we do one more? I said, drop, let's be going home. Because the scientists found out whenever women see babies, a happy hormone flows in them. Are you catching what I'm saying? They are wired for family life. I've preached in different continents in the world. Women react the same everywhere in the world when they are offered marriage. The same thing. Will you marry me? This is just everywhere in the world. They are happy. You will hardly see men rejoicing over a proposal. They will tell him, are you okay? Are you ready? Have you have money? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So God did it that way. One is work-oriented, the other is family-oriented. They balance each other. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? There are many more differences. For instance, a man is wired for vision. If you're a man here, one of the prayers you must pray for yourself is for vision. Your authority in life is tied to your eyes. Also, your problems in life will come from your eyes. Men have more nerves in their eyes than women. David was having a great life until he saw Bathsheba having a bath. Job was wise. I said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. As a man, you are visually driven. So, if you notice, vision, they found that men can see better on a straight line than women can. Because you are wired for vision. And you're also wired for focus. This is why you can't do two things well most times as a man. But women, on the other hand, are wired for details and multitasking. As a helper, you don't need to focus on only one thing. You can focus on many things. So they found out men can see better on a straight line, but women can see from the corner of their eyes. So the ancient men were hunters. You must need to look at the antelope very far. The ancient women were mothers. You have 4 children playing here. She's looking straight, but she's keeping an eye on all of them, no matter where they are. She's looking straight. So I tell men, every time you are with your wife or fiancé and you are on your phone, and both of you are sitting together and watching TV, she's reading your charts. She's looking straight, but she can see from the corner. Most men don't know that women can see from the corner. They can. And most women too don't know that we can't see from the corner of our eyes. Every woman here that has gossiped to your husband before, tell him, there's that couple, don't look. What's he going to do? He can't see from the corner of his eyes. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He's wired for vision. And when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2 and in Joel chapter 2, they said, your young men shall see vision. The Holy Ghost just enhanced what was there. He said, your old men shall dream dreams. The moment they added women, they said they will prophesy. That means they will remind you of what you said God told you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And all these things line up with both science and scripture and everything. That's why women are past-oriented, men are forward-oriented. Men have 0 memory because their brain is wired more for vision. Women have very strong memory, unlimited memory. That means something you did to her 20 years ago, she will remember it as if it's today. A man's favorite words when you're having an argument is, let's move on. Not because he wants to move on, it's that he can't even remember. He's wired more for vision. That's why a man and a woman together, they make a stronger combination. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Thank you. Let's clap for this couple as they go back to their seat. Hallelujah. This thing still goes on, but I don't want to spend all my time on it. So, number one, we must know the purpose of marriage. For us to set the pace in marriage, we must know the purpose of marriage. There are seven, I can't go into them. Second thing about setting the pace in marriage, we must enter marriage with the right person. Number one is purpose. Number two is the person. Who you marry determines how the marriage will go. One of the best things, or the strongest point to succeeding in anything, is the quality of the members of the team. If you want to succeed in business, your team matters a lot. You can have a great idea and a bad team kills it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's why Nigeria has not won any World Cup or anything like that in a long time. The team is still wrong. By the team you choose, it determines what will come out. You know, Nigeria, we pray in the stadium. We're the one that pray before the match, after the match. Because there are things prayer can do. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If you want to pray, pray to choose the right team. Not come and pray to win the match that day. The team, the quality of the person you marry. You can't be saying, I pray for a great marriage. You must also pick a great partner. I'm out. We're flying one time on the plane. It was Qatar Airways. So we're sitting together, but there's this barricade that blocks the two seats in case you're not traveling together. But we were traveling together. So we called the attendant. How do you bring this thing down? The guy said, both of you must press the down button at the same time on your side. At the same time. For you to come down. I said, great. I said, how do you raise it up? The person said, only one person needs to press up. So to build a strong marriage, you need two people intentionally pressing it down. But to build a wall, it's only one person can destroy it. Did you get it? So who did you choose? Choosing the right person. Somebody said, but what? How do I know the right person to choose? Beautiful. I have a book here titled, Who Should I Marry? I broke down some of the things. Many young people don't even know the qualities to pick in a spouse. I hear people say, what do you want in a spouse? I hear many guys say, he must be tall. All this movie and music you are watching, they are deceiving you. You say, he must be tall. Have you seen any marriage that has been working for 20 years or 30 years and they ask them what's the secret? They say, my husband's height. Instead of tall, choose tolerant. I've heard people say, what do you want in a spouse? He must be a graduate. No, what you want is somebody intellectually compatible with you. There are some graduates you can't talk to. There are some graduates that the way they think. When I married my wife, she had masters in Unilag here. I had OND in Yabatec here. You know OND? O is ordinary. If that's how they choose a spouse, she would have missed me. If she said I must marry a graduate. And now I have honorary doctorate, so I'm a doctor. It's not better than bigger than masters. Are you catching what I'm saying, sir? I'm saying what you are really looking for is intellectual compatibility. Some people say, I must marry a rich man. It's because you think you will not be rich. So you are waiting for someone to rescue you. I don't want to waste time. But I dealt with the 10 C's in this book. Number one, if you are going to choose who to marry, number one is C, the person must be in Christ. Come and say with me, Christ. Please, if you're a born-again Christian and you want to set the pace in marriage, marry another born-again Christian. Two cannot work together except they be what? Agreed. If you're a believer raised in a great church like this, marry another believer. God told my wife many years ago that can you go to the cemetery and pick a spouse? In case you don't know, the Bible says when we're sinners, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. If you're a believer and you're going to marry an unbeliever, you are literally marrying a dead person spiritually. You are going to the cemetery. God told my wife, what if the guy is nice? Say, but he's dead. What if he's rich? Say he's still dead. What if he's handsome or beautiful? They are still dead. So you can't be a believer, born again Christian, tongue talking, and you go and marry an unbeliever. Two of you can never be one. Because they are not even existing spiritually. He said, what does Christ have to do with Belial? How can darkness and light have communion? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Second C listed here, check their character. It's not everybody in church that has Christ-like character. A church is a hospital. Everybody comes to church. Jesus had a deacon board, 12 people. One was a thief. If Jesus had one thief on his deacon board, 12, who are you? So just because you met them in church doesn't mean they have the character of Christ. Look for their character by their fruits. You shall know them. If they are lying anyhow now, if they are always never coming to church, never committed to everything they teach in church, they come and cancel it. Somebody told me one time, that pastor, there's this guy who wants to marry me, but we talked about premarital sex, and he says, if you want, we can have sex. If you don't want, we will not have sex. I said, so what question are you asking? He has shown you his true color. He has shown you that spiritual things don't guide his life. If you're a young person here, casual sex always has casualties. Did you hear that? I said, casual sex always has what? Casualties. So don't let any devil deceive you, sir. Check their character. Character doesn't lie. One of my most touching stories, many years ago, one guy came to our, we're a young church, very young church then. This guy used to be a cultist in, you know, university. This cultist guy, he was a hitman. Huge giant like this. But he was one of their hitmen. They used to take him from campus to hit people. He came to church, he became born again. And when he became born again, this guy totally transformed. This giant became a gentle giant. Tongue talking, hallelujah, shouting, Bible carrying, church attending, tithe paying believer. Totally changed. He was even now teaching our believers class, foundations class. He was a great believer. This guy was paying tithe every week. Business was booming. He used to come to church office and harass me. Say, pastor, tell us the needs of the church so that we can give. That's every pastor's dream. To have members that harass you for giving instead of you harassing them. The guy was a pillar in our church. While that was going on, there was another sister in church, troublemaker. Her father left her mother. She was fighting her father, fighting her mother, fighting her other brother, fighting her boss, fighting even me, the innocent pastor. Troublemaker. She was always fighting people. And the fight got so much. Me and my associate pastor, we said, this church is too young. We will not go forward with this kind of fight. We held hands and prayed. Say, Father, send this girl to redeem. Okay, I'm joking. I didn't say redeem. But we prayed. We said, Lord, send her to another church. We can't cope. And truly, 2 months after, she came and said, Pastor K, I sense that God is leading me to another church. And we said, oh, are you sure? Have you prayed? She left to another church. And there was peace and prosperity in the land. Church began to grow. Guess what? We now later found out that this guy has started being friends with that girl and fell in love with her. The pillar fell in love with the caterpillar. Married her back into church. And she continued from where she stopped. Fighting. Scattering the church. After some months, she left again. After some months, he too now left. I didn't see them again for like 5 years or so. I met the guy about 5 years after that incident. His own testimony. He told me that, Pastor, that marriage failed from day one. You know, because I actually warned him that you can't marry that girl because of his character. I warned him. He said that marriage, that the only reason why he even lasted for 4 or 5 years was because we were trying to prove you wrong. We didn't want to look like you warned us and what you said happened. He said they fought every day of that marriage because she's a fighter. That was her character. He said there were times they'll be driving on the way, they would park on the highway, come down and fight. And they straighten their clothes and continue the journey. His own testimony. Watch out for character. Number three, I have just 5 minutes or less. Number three, I mentioned purpose of marriage, the person you enter with. Number three, prepare for marriage. Desiring marriage is good, but preparing is better. Prepare for marriage. Your single years are not the years you used to wait for marriage. Your single years are years you used to prepare for life. Now that you're single, what are you preparing? You don't only read marriage books to prepare for marriage. You read finance books. You read other kinds of books because you are going to marriage as a full package. Prepare. Many people act surprised when something is not working. When you ask them, how did you prepare for it? Did you prepare? I did long distance race when I was in high school, in secondary school. All my mates were going to the field to practice. Me and my useless friends. I was not born again that time. We wake up late. It was boarding school. I was not born again. We wake up late. First smoke cigarette. The people I'm competing with, they went before classes, 6 a.m. to go and practice in the field. Me, I wake up 10 a.m. and first smoke. Then me and my useless friends, let's say, 1,500 meters. When I measure dimension, how many times do we need to go? You can't successfully fail without useless friends. We measure dimension. I'll now run inside dormitory to measure. They too will be timing me. The day of the race came. I was very popular in school. They were shouting, Kinzo, Kinzo. That's when I knew that in life, it doesn't matter who is supporting you. If you are not prepared, you will still fail globally. On your mark, set, go. Kinzo, Kinzo, Kinzo. I was following the guy coming first normally. I said, I will come second. You know a failure by the goals he set. He doesn't want to pass. He just wants not to fail. I was coming second. All my energy. Nobody told me that in long distance race, they save their energy to the last lap. I've used all my energy to survive to last lap. Last lap. Boom! The blow whistle. Everybody took off. I tried to follow, but my heart said, if you move, you will collapse here today. The only thing that saved me was that there was bush in front. When we made the corner, everybody went the corner. Me, I went straight into the bush. You won't kill me for my mother. I went to sit down there until everybody left the field. Only my useless friends that measured dimension with me waited for me. Are you preparing? When you're in a church like this, serving in church is part of how you prepare for marriage. Do you know everything God has asked us to do as Christians is what they've also asked us to do in marriage? There's no new instruction for marriage. If they say forgive people that offend you as a Christian, it's the same thing you will forgive in marriage. It's only people that have not been practicing as singles that struggle to forgive in marriage. It's like, I can never forgive. Are you sure you're a believer? For us, forgiveness is not optional as Christians. Are you catching what I'm saying? They say a soft answer turneth away wrath. It's not a marriage scripture. It's a Christian scripture. If you're already a Christian practicing it, you practice in marriage. Daddy, I remember one man. He was tired. He called his pastor. Pastor, I'm not marrying my wife again. The pastor said, brother, so and so. The Bible says, husband, love your wife. He said, she's not my wife. She has been staying in the next room for months. He said, the Bible says, love your neighbor. He said, she's not my neighbor. She has been going everywhere telling people bad things about me. He said, love your enemies. They are all there in the scripture. Hallelujah. They are all there in the scripture. So if you have been practicing as a Christian, it will be easy. Practice service. Practice service. You are in a church like this, everybody's serving you. You don't serve in any department. Marriage is for two servers. We serve each other. Because of the way I served the devil, when I gave my life to Christ, I said I will serve God. And that God can never have a need in his house and I will not volunteer. And truly, I was in a small church. You know, in a small church, there are more departments than people. They are always looking for people. Who will join traffic? I couldn't drive that time. I raised my hand. I was helping direct. Who will join technical? I raised my hand. I joined. Who will join usher? I raised only me. Who will join prayer band? That one a mistake. But I raised my hand. It's a mistake because if you don't pray in tongues and you join prayer band, read prayer band. I got born again in Makurdi. In Makurdi, they used 2 hours to pray to prepare for the prayer meeting. And I couldn't pray in tongues. Those guys, ma, 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 shandada. 2 hours. Say, why are you praying? We're praying to start. I suffered, but I joined. Then they say, choir. I raised my hand. I didn't. Then one day in the choir, they say, the praise and worship leader didn't come. Who can help us lead? Because I've told God anywhere he has need, I will serve. Nobody taught me that in praise and worship, there's a way to. You saw how that guy, they started to do his own. You start with a certain kind of song, then you let the momentum build. Nobody taught me that one. I came with my hottest song. The first song was hot. Everybody was dancing. Hey, today. Everybody was dancing. After a while, no song again, because every song has lifespan. You can't sing one song throughout. And I've gone so high, there's no higher song. So I said, in your hand. Your hand. They were clapping. Hey, they were happy. I said, your hand. After 10 minutes, they knew that this your hand has passed. Normal your hand. They were not answering me again. Because nobody... Is somebody getting what I'm saying? But the point is that desiring marriage is good, but preparing for marriage is better. Have you been blessed this evening? Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Quickly, can we stand? Let me pray quickly as I go. Father, we thank you for all the singles and even those that are married in the house. we will set the pace regarding our relationship and our marriages. You will use us as worthy examples. If there's anyone already missing it regarding their marriage, Lord, correct our path. If there's anyone going through any kind of hurt or pain, Lord, cause healing to their heart. If there's any marriage that is struggling, Father, we pray you are the God that can restore. Restore the love and the peace and the harmony in that union in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.